Please pray with me. Let the words of my mouth and the meditations of all our hearts be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. So I am preaching this 3 weeks, last week and this week and next week, on our mission, this new mission statement that is before you. Hope Presbyterian Church strives to follow the example set by Jesus Christ, to welcome, nurture, heal, and provide, serving as a beacon of God's love in our community. We're looking at what that might mean for us. What I want to focus on today is how Hope Presbyterian Church strives to follow the example set by Jesus. And in fact, I believe that parents, mothers and fathers, families, and teachers, Jesus being a teacher, intentionally or not, set examples for their children and for their students to follow. So if we think about Jesus as the example set for us, it is not different, not wholly different from the way parents have served as examples as well. As a parent myself, I have understood that my main job was to prepare my children to live healthy adult lives. And you may someday hear me say, my children have heard, that I have come to believe that the best way I can serve my children is to be healthy myself, physically and mentally and spiritually and emotionally, and model that for my children. If I value health, I am encouraging my children to value health as well. Now, along with preparing my children, my three children and their loved ones and our five grandchildren, preparing them to live healthy adult lives, I also hoped my children would have faith in God, duh, and would show kindness toward others, duh, and would grow to be independent. Not all cultures value independence the way we Americans do, but I value it. And I want my children and family to value family and to care for each other and want to spend time together. Now, I know that my goals as a parent may not be the same as everyone else's goals. Others might hope that their children will be good earners, you know, to take care of me when I get old in the way I would like to be accustomed. Or strong competitors and really do well on sports fields or in the marketplace, or creative in some specific or non-specific way, or so that they would make a name for themselves, and maybe that's something that's important to other families. Not all parents, mothers, fathers have the same hopes for their children. And yet, regardless of our biases or hopes, our job as parents is to prepare our children to live their own lives, that empty nest, as we send them forth. Painful as that might be, it is an important part of who we are. And so we hope and pray that our children and grandchildren, our family members, will grow to be healthy adults, healthy physically and emotionally and spiritually. So I hope that mothers and fathers and even teachers understand this, that we are setting an example for our children to follow for good or for ill. So we show our kids how to cook a casserole or change a tire or study for a test or invest in the market. We provide an example. In the mission statement Hope Church has, we are claiming that the example we will follow is the example set by Jesus Christ, who is our teacher, our Savior, our friend. Jesus is the example set for us so that we can be worthy disciples, effective servants of God. So today we look at Jesus. Striving to follow the example set by Jesus Christ to welcome, nurture, heal, and provide. In today's text, this Luke 6 text that Tim has read, Jesus went out to the mountain to pray, spending the night in prayer. He stayed attuned to God, and we too need to nurture our spirits, our relationship with God. And Jesus chose some followers to be disciples. We saw their names up on the slide or in your scripture as you read, because Jesus welcomed and encouraged others and he coached them. We too should welcome and encourage others and help identify and lift up their gifts, cheering on their growth, whether they're children or folks who come to worship with us in our community. Then Jesus came down. He was up on the mountain, he called his disciples together and identified them, and then he comes down to teach the multitudes, the whole crowds, because Jesus was always available, offering his truth and his wisdom. And as we follow Jesus, we would nurture the people of our congregation and of our community. We would help them to grow in their faith and to listen as their lives provide lessons for us as well. Jesus gave of his power to heal the people of their diseases. Luke tells us that in the scripture as well, because Jesus was compassionate, generous, ready to heal. The Bible tells us that Jesus had compassion for the crowds. He saw them as sheep without a shepherd. And we even see that Jesus, in contrast to his very own society, valued women. And he invited them, too, to share their gifts with them. You see, Jesus graciously welcomed and accepted the gifts of others, even when his own society frowned on them and their gifts. We can think of specific examples of that. Remember the woman with the fragrant oil anointing Jesus' feet? Remember how the hosts and the proper people wanted him to send her away? They were shocked. They were offended. They saw that oil as a waste poured out on his feet. But Jesus looked at her heart, her expression of love and gratitude. He commended her. We too, I think, might be called to accept the unlovely, the unconventional, those that our community may not smile about, because we must be welcoming as Jesus is welcoming. Luke tells us that Jesus went out through the cities and the villages proclaiming and bringing the good news of the kingdom of God, like spreading his seed all the way through all kinds of soil, letting everyone have a glimpse, everyone being invited. So right here, in a few verses in Luke, we get a snapshot of who Jesus is. You can find similar texts throughout the scriptures. But this gave us a snapshot of who Jesus is, of the example Jesus set for us. As our mission statement says, he's welcoming, nurturing, healing, and providing. And we see these very things in this view that Luke offers us of Jesus. Well, I'm aware that we here at Hope have things about Jesus absolutely written on our hearts. I have come to see how precious Jesus is to you, and that you have a lot to say about Jesus. I know this. How many of you were here last week? I know you don't remember last week. Last week, I asked you to write a few words about Jesus on a 3x5 card. They're not very big, 3x5 card. Remember that? I asked you to write a few words about Jesus, and I was astonished when I was given the stack of cards. There were 45 cards. I counted them. It seemed like an awfully big stack, 45 of them. 45. I had asked for a few words, so I picked up that card and I thought, oh, you know, each card will have two words, three maybe. Some of you filled the entire card with things that you know to be true or believe about Jesus. So I promised you a word cloud. Remember I showed you a word cloud about Mother's Day? I said, I'm going to create a word cloud of what you have to say. Okay, so have fun with this. Yeah, woe is right. A word cloud is something that takes the text you feed to them, which can be a list of words or it can be a chapter or a paragraph or something, and it analyzes which words are used the most, and then it presents them in some format with some set of colors proportional to how much they are used. Dawn, what's a big word on that? What's one of the big words?
Teacher.
Teacher's up there. It's vertical, but it's pretty big. I heard somebody say forgiving. What's another one?
Loving.
What's another one?
Friend.
Those are the big ones. Now, I know there's a lot on this word cloud, and I know it's hard to see it all. So, I got Michael Cousins to make copies of them. And if you want a copy of this word cloud, it will be available after worship. You can take it home. You might use it as a prayer assist, a prayer tool. You might think about it. But I also decided to simplify it. So what I decided to do was remove from, now I had to type all the things you all wrote on your cards. And it turns out in a word cloud, let's see if I see one. If you say God's son, so that it doesn't put God's and son separately, I had to put a tilde between each connected set of words. So I had to do all of that. Anyway, I decided to simplify it for you. So what I did was, A, remove the words that were suggested only once, and B, print them all horizontally. So here's the simpler word cloud using just the words suggested more than once. So there aren't as many words on this. It's still hard to see. But that too will be on the sheet that you can pick up after worship if you would like to. Notice that in our word cloud, either one, some of those bigger words are forgiving, loving, faithful, friend. Now that's not all that's true about Jesus, of course. You know that, but these are some of the things that without much notice and with whoever was here last week, you all lifted up as things that were important. And yet there are other things about Jesus. One of my favorite songs from the Iona community in Scotland lifts up Jesus in a very different way, and that song shows Jesus as a bit of a troublemaker, somewhat mischievous. Anybody we know that's mischievous ever? I was too. This song was called Firstborn of Mary. Who was the firstborn of Mary? Jesus was. This song says, Firstborn of Mary, provocative preacher, itinerant teacher, outsider's choice. Jesus inspires and disarms and confuses whoever he chooses to hear his voice. So if Jesus chooses you and me to hear his voice, then he may disarm us. He may inspire us. He may confuse us as we try to learn from him and follow. Because after all, Jesus wasn't a teddy bear. Jesus could be and is provocative. He can and does challenge and confuse us whenever we pay attention, because it wasn't Jesus' intention to confirm what we each believed about him or about God. That's a challenge for all of us, especially as we decide to learn from him, to follow the example he sets for us. So, by the way, last week I suggested also that you could write on your cards things Jesus had said that you remember and cherish, and some of you did that, but I couldn't figure out how to get them on a word cloud. So here's some of those things. Come unto me. Father, forgive them. Not my will, but thine be done. Come, all you who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. You shall be with me in paradise. He is with us always. Jesus said, I am with you always to the end of the earth. I will send you a comforter, he said. And who's the comforter? The Holy Spirit. He said, love your neighbor, love your God. You can do even greater things, Jesus said to us, as if what Jesus did wasn't great enough, but he was saying to those who followed him, you will have power as well to do greater things. Fishers of men, follow me. Fear not, do not be afraid. The kingdom of God is at hand. Love God, love others, love your neighbor as yourself. We know Jesus to be welcoming, nurturing, healing, and providing. And we challenge ourselves to continue to learn about Jesus, about who he is, and about the example he sets for us. So today I lift up for you again the parts of Hope's new mission statement, saying first that as a church we pledge that we will follow our Lord, that we will study him, we will engage in prayer as he did, we will be intentional in learning about him and following where he leads us, no matter what. That's the priority. Hope Presbyterian Church strives to follow the example set by Jesus Christ. Second, we pledge to see that Jesus was one who welcomed others, nurtured others, healed and provided for others, so we pledge to do the same. What does it mean? What does it mean to welcome others? Surely it is to let ourselves be inspired by who Jesus welcomed and how Jesus did it. So we must consider how we might welcome people as Jesus did. Children, outcasts, the religious, the hungry. You know, this may not be easy. It may not be easy. Think about Jesus. Jesus welcomed children, okay? Children who bickered with each other and who wiggled and who made noise and pushed and shoved. Not our kids. But think about them gathering out on the hillside wanting to learn from Jesus and hear all these kids come making noise and pushing and shoving and wanting a prime place. And the disciples knew those children would interrupt Jesus while he was teaching, or at least interrupt the concentration of the adults sitting there. So they shooed them away. Go on, go play somewhere else. But Jesus would have none of that. Let the children come, he said. Forbid them not. So we too must resolve that we will welcome children even when they push and shove and interrupt. We must show them they are valued and accepted and loved. Can you do that? Jesus did. Jesus spent time talking with a woman at a well in Samaria. You might remember that story. You find it in John chapter 4. She was a Samaritan. She was a woman of ill repute. Nobody liked her. Nobody would talk to her, so she came to the well at noon when no one else was there. It was too painful to come and be shunned otherwise. She was not someone Jesus was expected to talk to or welcome into his confidence, but he did exactly that. He asked her to give him a drink of water, to draw water out of the well and give it to him. And he told her he was the Messiah. He welcomed her into a conversation about God and about himself. Jesus saw Zacchaeus up in a tree. You know that story. You could probably sing a song about it. The really short tax collector that no one liked. And you know why they didn't like him? He assessed people more than they owed in their taxes. Jesus calls Zacchaeus down out of the tree. He walks right up the tree and looks up. He says, Zacchaeus, come down. I need to come to your house for dinner. We need to talk. That's not quite how the Bible says it, but that's what he meant. Shocked people were standing around in that crowd. He's talking to that tax collector. Jesus with lepers, Jesus with Gentiles, Jesus with sinners, Jesus welcoming everyone to know him and to learn from him. Who might we be asked to welcome in the name of Jesus? That's a question for hope to consider. And how might we do more than welcome those who walk in our door? How could we go out into the neighborhood and community and find people who need our care? Like Jesus who stops at the well, or Jesus who approaches the tree by the road, or out on the beach, or up on a hillside. People didn't come to Jesus exactly, not in the way that we hope people will come to us, but we're being told. People aren't seeking out the church in the way they did in the 60s. We may find that we have to go out to welcome people where they are. Third, hope must think about the way that this church and we as individuals would be able to nurture people. After all, Jesus nurtured people, and we need to consider how we might nurture them as he did. Our day camp is one idea we've had. To nurture the families in our community, to provide a week of full day quality childcare, entertaining activities for working families at a very low cost to them. So far, we haven't gotten the registrations we're hoping for. So how can we reach out to the families that need this kind of encouragement and help? Hope must think about the way that this church and we would be able to do that. Just as we need to think about the way we as a church and as individuals would be able to heal people, because Jesus healed people, and that's in our mission statement. If we strive to follow the example set by Jesus Christ to heal, how might we provide healing to our community? Jesus healed the sick, the lost, those who were dying, like the daughter of the centurion, like the woman with the flow of blood, like Lazarus. What could we do? Perhaps we could encourage our members to be volunteers with hospice, bringing comfort to patients and families. Perhaps we could encourage our members to become guardians ad litem and work with children in the foster care system and speak up and advocate for them. Or maybe we could establish a fund that helped people pay for their prescriptions, those who have to choose between food and rent and medical care. Or maybe we could provide support groups for families dealing with Alzheimer's. Or maybe we could learn and offer training in the signs of risk for suicide in children or teenagers. Or my friend Terry's son, who was 38. What ideas could we come up with about following the example of Jesus Christ to heal? We wouldn't do all those things. We would find one and get good at it. And then maybe another. Which thing, though? And how would we do it? Hope must think about the way that this church and we as individuals would be able to provide. Jesus provided for people. He offered loaves and fish. He offered life everlasting. I have come that they may have life and have it in abundance. Abundance. That's what Jesus wants for us. That's what I want for my children. They should have abundant life, joyous, hopeful. Will you provide meals on Wednesday nights for members of the congregation who choose to come? Could you expand that program somehow? That would be an easy, obvious step. You are providing funding and some assistance in the Pack-a-Snack program for Belcher Elementary, which provides weekend foods for 30 children almost every week throughout the school year. That's really something. Ask Patty Wyatt. Where are you, Patty? Ask Patty Wyatt and Mary Ellen Nichols about the small room that they work in over next door, packing those sacks on Monday nights. Think about the ways we provide. Hope Presbyterian Church strives to follow the example set by Jesus Christ. Hope Church, that's you as individuals, it's us together, supporting one another and working together. To follow the example set by Jesus Christ to welcome and nurture and heal and provide. And in doing that, serving as a beacon of God's love in our community. So consider these texts as you consider how we strive to follow the example of Jesus. John 13:15 says, "For I have given you an example that you should do as I have done to you." John 13:35, "By this, all will know that you are my disciples if you have love for one another." John 14:12, "Truly, truly, I say to you, those who believe in me will also do the works that I do, and greater works than these will they do." John 15:12, "This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you." 1 John 2:6, "He who says he abides in Christ ought to walk in the same way in which Jesus walked." Let's strive to follow the example set by Jesus Christ and find ways to be like him. Let us pray. We thank you, Lord. We thank you for who you were when you walked in our midst, who you are, as you call us to know you and follow you, as you send us forth as your hands and feet and voice and heart in this world. In Christ we pray. Amen.